football on off the ball.
I think they can go and win it. They're a very, very difficult team to beat. They don't lose an awful lot of games. I think Morocco are better than Germany. I think, and people have said to me they fancy Germany as dark horses. People have said they fancy Ecuador, or I personally fancy Colombia as a bit of a dark horse. I think Morocco are ahead of all those teams.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, a stacked show, it's fair to say. David Brady, Nathan Murphy, Ethan Asewa, Philippe Auclair, and Enda back from holidays.
That's the real star there, Ger.
That's the lead. Dara also, how are you?
Good, Ger. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. So England, pretty good.
Yeah, it turns out, they're not too bad at football, which is obviously a shame for us watching, but yeah. They were quite fun to watch as well.
They were brilliant.
Exciting
to watch.
Football, yeah.
That second half in particular, when they couldn't score, but they were absolutely dominant.
Mm.
There was a rampancy about them. There was an energy. There was just a quality about them. And that was still with Saka to come off the bench, who did look very sharp.
Yeah.
So.
Thomas Tuchel effect in full flow. It is such a contrast to what we're used to when watching England.
They're totally
so boring, generally.
Not anymore, it turns out.
Not anymore.
What is fantastic, though, is over the last 10 years, we kind of got used to the English press downplaying the need for a strategist or a tactician or somebody who knows something about football other than how to get good lads on the pitch. And turns out if you actually put a top-class manager in charge of top-class players, they play top-class football. Who knew?
It's not too early, is it?
Maybe a little
bit. They haven't peaked too soon.
Well, as,
a long way to go.
As John Bruin said to us at the start of the tournament, England will be good until they meet a good team. Now, I'm not saying Croatia aren't a good team. They're a fairly decent team, but they are a team that you would say are slightly over the hill of where you would like them to be at a major tournament. But
we had JB on yesterday, and he was basically the inevitable disappointment will come, but at some point it won't, you know? The weight of history suggests that the country with the most registered players, the richest league, at some point, something good might happen to them.
Yeah.
On our watch? Whoa.
God.
Oh, I don't know. Quite early for that.
It is very early.
Now, England don't usually meet a side as good as Croatia this early on in the tournament.
That's so true,
do have to give them credit where credit is due there as well. I liked Harry Kane doing his best late-stage Wayne Rooney impression. At one stage, he was getting the ball in the centre-back position and spreading the ball.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And he was getting criticised for it by the RTE panel. It kind of felt like that's his game these days, right? Like he did have a chance for his hat-trick in the 94th minute where he ballooned it wide.
Yeah.
And I think Ray Houghton was like, maybe that's fatigue this stage. Or maybe it was Dara was saying, maybe that's fatigue. But I think he looks very sharp, you know? Germany has suited him.
Yeah, I think he's taken his game to a new level. And like, he always had that part of his game for Spurs as well. But maybe they just didn't explore it enough. They just needed him up front and scoring goals and being in those positions as much as possible. But when he does drop deep, he's one of the best passers. When I say in Europe, like he probably is. Like anytime
he carries the ball,
40-50 yard pass, he normally hits his target, and obviously chipping in with two goals as well. Like he is just. I said it yesterday. I think if he got injured, any hope they have to win the World Cup is completely derailed.
Well, look,
he is by far their most important player.
He's very important, but I do think when he does that hybrid role, that actually. I think Morgan Rodgers could replace him at a pinch. I'm not saying it's like for like, but coming deep, carrying the ball forward, passing it. Now, you don't get the same quality of finishing, although Morgan Rodgers has improved his finishing. I think they're very well set up. And I think that, I suspect because they've won this game, they'll be able to manage minutes for everybody from now on. Like, because they won it so comfortably, they might not be as impressive again until the round of 32.
Yeah, they don't really have to be, do they? Like, you beat the best team in the group, or the second best team in the group in Croatia, you can probably safely assume that they'll pick up one more point to get through in some fashion, and they'll likely win at least one more game. But, like, it's a weird thing with England. You don't want to see them win, but at the same time, I want to see them do well for a while, and then it all come crashing down at the worst possible moment.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. That'll make me happy.
Just a final point on the Harry Kane stuff. It is the best way to get the best out of Jude Bellingham as well, which was always the debate going into this England camp was, how do you fit all these magical midfielders in together? And the answer is, you kind of don't play a midfield at all. I don't know if people notice this, but Elliot Anderson and Declan Rice, every time they received the ball, they were out wide. They weren't receiving the ball in the middle at all. They were taking it into the channels. That creates the space for Harry Kane to drop into that position. You've got super high wingers plus Jude Bellingham and running in behind, and that just seems to be the game plan. So, look, it creates headaches for teams, because do you go press them? Croatia pressed them, got some good... I thought they, once Croatia pressed them high, they did cause some trouble, but then you create space then for Jude Bellingham to run in behind, or Nani Madueke. If Madueke was a slightly better winger and Anthony Gordon actually decided to turn up, then England could have potentially put a score up against Croatia last night. So, look, they're not going to do that every game, but they can mix it up.
Yeah.
I think it certainly helps that when you're taking off players like Declan Rice and Madueke and Anthony Gordon, that you're bringing on Marcus Rashford and Bukayo Saka and Morgan Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, like, they've definitely got the strength and depth to go deep in this competition. It's just whether or not they can show up when it's important. They haven't been able to do that, but maybe Thomas Cook is the man to figure this out for them.
Rashford playing well as well is huge. Like, just having some, like, he may not start too many games, but the fact that he's, you know, coming off the bench or chipping in with a goal, like, a confident in for Marcus Rashford, like, what an asset to have as an option off the bench. Yeah, I'd be if I was an England fan, I'd be fairly optimistic.
Oh, you're like, now I'd you're losing your mind.
Yeah. Like, did you see some of the scenes? I don't know where, I presume it was somewhere in London. There was a beer garden that it was set up as if it was already the World Cup final, and the beers were being thrown around the place and they're going mental. And it was like, all right, calm down slightly.
It's
the first game in the World Cup.
Every step along the way. Imagine if it was us, we won our first game 4-2.
100%, yeah, but...
Walk us down around about revisited.
Mm. It wasn't all good. Like, they were vulnerable at times. The first half in particular, they probably weren't playing their best football. The second half, they were phenomenal. It has to be said. And potentially down to a halftime rousing. I don't know, did you see the Anthony Barry halftime press conference? He was not happy. The first time we actually see something interesting in one of these halftime interviews.
Overall, a complicated and confusing first half from us, really. I think a lot of nervous energy early on. Maybe that should be accepted and maybe expected in the opening game of a World Cup. From there, then we made some decisions where the energy was not free in our mind, playing long when we should play short, playing short when we should play long, really. Not playing through the gaps, so not allowing us to accelerate our game the way we wanted to. Then you think the penalty would free us up, allow us to play more like us, look more like ourselves. But again, we fall back into some fearful patterns. And we've always been able to rely on set pieces. We get the second goal. Again, we're hoping that's the moment to free us up and allow us to move forward in the game. But okay, we concede the second goal late on, and now we have to speak about that at halftime. Thank you.
Former Republic of Ireland coach Anthony Barry there, speaking about his England team.
That he was very angry. You can't really tell by just listening to that, but if you actually saw the interview, he was raging.
Yeah.
And they obviously went into the dressing room at halftime, kept them in, Jim McGuinness style, for an extra 3 minutes, mm-hmm. and did the trick. Bellingham's goal was class.
It was pretty cool.
Fuck you, I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
Which, if he gets that bit between his teeth.
You haven't really seen that for Real Madrid this season either. Like, when he's just able to take the ball up the pitch like that, it's kind of like... It reminded me of his first season at Real Madrid when he just kind of took over for the first few months and was scoring regularly. Again, someone like him in form, if they all are coming into their best form now, I'd give them a real chance to go get into a World Cup final, because they do have some really world-class players. We were talking about that the other week, that on paper, they're one of the best teams there. There's no doubt about that. Everyone fit, everyone in form. It's a world-class team, so... Yeah.
Do you like Jude Bellingham?
I do. I
think he's a bit about him, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think the PR machine has almost come full circle, where people are almost sick of people bringing up the PR machine around him?
I don't care about any of that stuff. Like, I think that a young athlete controlling the narrative around him as much as they possibly can is actually the way of the modern world. It's what Rory does. It's what LeBron did. It's what Federer did. Granted... Well, LeBron plays a team sport. Tut, 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 man controls his own destiny. Like, sorry, is that really a problem? That's what I think.
It helps that he's a good tournament player.
It helps that he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, he's still a kid, really.
Yeah.
What age is he, 23, 24?
I don't think it wouldn't be 24. No, I'd say it's 22, 23, yeah.
You know, like some players do this and they haven't quite got the stuff to back it up.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I'd say fair play to them. Tiny little window in professional sport to maximise your returns. He's at Madrid. Are you telling me he's the only one in Madrid who has this stuff around him?
No.
And what exactly does he have around him?
In terms of the PR stuff?
Yeah, like a social media person.
I would imagine people are just a little bit more aware of probably too much. They're probably aware too much of his family. They're quite involved in everything that goes around him. It feels like if there's leaks that come out, it's generally to do with whether or not he's happy or whether he's playing in the position he wants. And I would feel that maybe that grinds on people. I'm not necessarily in full agreement with it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who's leaking those stories half the time. But generally, it feels like if there's a story to be had about Jude Bellingham, whether he's satisfied or not with the ongoing manager, it tends to come out and it tends to be in favour of him. So
we give out that we don't know enough about like modern athletes, and then when we do find out loads about them, we're like, why are you telling us so much about yourself? I don't want to hear about you.
Like, the other thing is the managerial situation at Real Madrid has not been great.
That's true.
Right, since Ancelotti left, it hasn't been great. Now, is he the only one? I don't know. I hope he fulfills his potential, because if he does, we're all going to enjoy watching football.
It comes with the package of playing for Real Madrid and being a Galactico.
Again, absolutely.
And I would also be annoyed if Alvaro Arbeloa was made my manager at Real Madrid, because God, like, Jude Bellingham's as qualified as Arbeloa is to manage that club.
Vinicius has had problems. Mbappe's had problems. Like, people at Real Madrid have problems with the managers from time to time, because it's not a team that's been built to be a team. It's a collection of superstars who are asked to go out and do stuff, and largely it works when you have someone who can handle the egos, and then it stops working when you don't, or when an autodidact comes in and says, we're going to play this way. I'm like, I don't think we're going to play that way, because we're not built to do it. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's very refreshing. Like, someone that knows they're very good and isn't afraid to kind of be boisterous about it. Like, his celebration. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the Timothée Chalamet, I can't remember what award he won, but it was an acceptance speech. And he was like, I'm not afraid to say that I'm trying to be one of the greatest actors of all time here. And he got a lot of shit for it, but it was like, I find it extremely refreshing. He's like, he's just saying the quiet part out loud.
Well, I was actually thinking exactly about this yesterday on the programme. I was talking to John Bruin and going, why is Thomas Tuchel saying we're going to do this? What? Like, would you not just say nothing? And I realised this morning, I woke up and I was like, hang on a second. I came back from the Olympics, and all the Irish athletes were like, we're going out here to win.
Yeah.
And I was like totally emboldened by that and going, that's the way it should be in the future. Just been infected by the GAA again. I was like, should we keep the ball kicked out to them?
Keep the head down.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the right thing to do is to go, we are here to do our very best. And if we fail, we fail.
Yeah.
I actually read Richard Fitzpatrick's brilliant book on Helenio Herrera while I was away.
Stunning book.
And I'd strongly recommend it to everybody. But if there was ever a man for this, it's Herrera, based on what he did. Like, he coined the phrase, we will beat them before we get off the bus, and we're better with 10 men than 11, and basically all the psychology before psychology came into it. So, I mean,
had a colourful off-field life as well, which we don't endorse.
But. No, of course, yeah. that Interside, not the best bunch of characters. In the end, it turns out.
The villains, the black hat wearing villains. But I think you're dead right. I think that, like, there's loads of different ways, obviously, to go about this. The humble, let's not say anything, don't put your head above the parapet, that seems to be over.
Now, there is an issue with this when it comes to a certain point in your career. I think we're seeing that with Cristiano Ronaldo now, though. Because it's all well and good saying and doing all these bits when you know that you're the best in the world and when you can back it up on the pitch. But I think we're seeing now with Ronaldo and his performance for Portugal that maybe thinking you're the best when you're not the best anymore.
What does Thierry Henry have to say about this?
Well, Thierry Henry, so just a bit of context on this. So basically, Ronaldo obviously had a stinker against Democratic Republic of Congo. And Henry basically broke down the scenario he's talking about here. He mentions a chance for Bruno Fernandes. Essentially, it's a cross into the box. Ronaldo should go to the six-yard box. He instead pulls back and stands exactly where Bruno Fernandes is running and takes a shot on that Bruno could have tapped in easily. So Henry essentially sums up the Ronaldo situation here.
One thing that's important, people, please, at home, the team needs to score, not you need to score. And I will explain now and go more into details of what Zlatan just explained here. So obviously we're going to see here, Portugal being on the ball, Conceição is going to receive the ball. Cristiano Ronaldo has been in that situation multiple times. If you make that run here, you make the defender take a decision to crash a six-yard box. But because he wants to score, he goes into the path of Bruno Fernandes. If he goes into that six-yard box, you've been in that situation, like, see, you would have had to follow him, and then he would have been a tap-in for Bruno Fernandes. But because he wants to score, he goes into the path of the back pass. You see both players, and it's easier for you to defend. And that's my thing. The team needs to score, not you. You saw the reaction of Bruno Fernandes behind going like, let it roll, make a run, create space so I can tap it in. It didn't happen.
Not impressed.
He's spot on, though.
That's better analysis from Thierry Henry there. I mean, we actually couldn't see it, but in fairness, you can picture it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's finally coming good.
I'm surprised he actually mentioned Alexi Lalas there. You'd know about this. I don't think Zlatan would agree with it. Lalas would know about it. But yeah, I mean, he's spot on there, really, isn't he? He's like, it's been the Ronaldo problem since the last Euros, let alone this current World Cup.
Oh, it's a previous World Cup. Yeah. It's like he's out of time. So will he be dropped? We have Portuguese sister station. We should get them on and talk to them about this because... I presume it's the only thing people are talking about in Portugal this morning, because that team, when you look at their subs bench, when you look at the starting team, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I was making the case, you weren't here yesterday, that I think they've got the best midfield in the tournament.
Oh, they're brilliant, yeah.
You can't see it, though.
I am a bit annoyed that I booked my holiday to Portugal and came back the day before Portugal. I booked it a month in advance of that, not knowing that the game was going to be on. But I would have got a little bit of insight on the ground.
Yeah.
Had I not returned yesterday, but
I said, yeah. Like we were saying yesterday that, you know, some of those players are currently world class, but are still somehow playing second fiddle to someone who's not world class anymore. And it literally played out exactly like that. Like visibly, like Ronaldo stands in front of Bruno Fernandes for a clear cut chance where not only should he not have been there, but he also should have been, Thierry Henry explained it well, like creating the space for his teammate to make that a better chance. And he just did the completely wrong thing, and there's no other explanation for it than greed, really.
Like, Ebola is one of the daily sports papers. There's another one as well, and they're actually leading with the Thierry Henry stuff about because Ronaldo wants to be him to score, crosses paths with Bruno Fernandes and loses an easy goal. And so that'll be the pressure ratcheting up. They've literally taken the Thierry Henry quotes there and led with it on the morning sports paper in Portugal. So you're kind of going, what happens now?
But this was happening in the warm-up games. I know they're not as important as the actual World Cup games, but like the writing was on the wall here that this was going to happen. Like if it was happening in the games in the lead-up, why would it not happen come the real thing? And like at some point, someone has to say, like within the management, but they have to drop this fella. Like.
They can't though. It's like he's too big
to
fail.
You have to though.
Well,
like if it was a shifty lad in the comments saying he like actually a decent option off the bench. Like he probably would be an impact player. It would make sense for someone like that if you are drawing 1-1 or something, you'd fancy him to come in and, you know, potentially get a late goal because that is probably what he was best at in his prime. But starting, they're not going to go far in this tournament if he's starting.
I don't really understand why Martinez can't drop him. He's leaving at the end of this tournament anyway. So there's nothing to lose with him and his relationship with Ronaldo at the end of this.
Tournament.
Yeah.
Do we think Ronaldo would leave the tournament if he was dropped out of the team?
No, I don't think he would storm off.
Mm.
He won't do that. The brand would be damaged. And Ronaldo is obviously a force in world football. Would you be terribly surprised to see him as not Infantino's successor, but the successor of the guy after that? Like, so do you want to cross the empire, the evil empire? He's like Darth Vader here at some point. Like, and has Roberto Martinez ever shown the inclination to be that person?
No, I don't think so. That I'd imagine Ronaldo likes him for that. Yeah, and is happy with him as manager.
He might be on Team CR7.
He could be. Maybe he needs Anthony Barry back in his dugout. Give Ronaldo the bollocking that he deserves.
Obviously, Anthony Barry seems to be really good, right?
Oh, like, yeah.
Yeah.
In fairness, Stephen Kenny's selection of assistant managers have all gone on to do pretty good stuff. Anyway.
Pretty strong. Big weekend for you, Ger.
Which side? Wait.
Father's Day this weekend.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You doing anything big?
Well, so I haven't talked about this yet, but I've been a single father for most of this week, single parent. I was in Spain for the last 2 weeks, and in the middle of it, my youngest got chickenpox. Can't travel with chickenpox.
Oh, no.
So, three of my family, including my wife and my youngest and my eldest, are still in Spain.
Oh.
They had to stay behind. And so me and my middle child came home, and we've been surviving.
Giving you the best Father's Day present of all.
Exactly.
Time alone.
No, it wasn't alone.
No.
Yeah. It wasn't a free
almost
gap.
Alone. Time almost alone.
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually more difficult to, like, accidentally kill one of your own children when there's only one of them. When there's, like, loads of them together, they look after each other.
Okay,
you're like,
yeah.
You know, oh, I have to, what? Now you're totally responsible.
So that is your fear.
I don't know how people are single parents, by the way. I just think hats off. It's a very difficult thing.
Full-time job, yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you do want to give your father a decent present that's not just leaving them alone.
Or yourself, right? Let's you know,
yeah.
Ultimately, this is a ruse. Father's Day is like, what would you like for Father's Day? You buy yourself a present. That's how it works. This is all ahead of you, Dara.
We'll send you the money.
And you, Enda. It's all ahead of you. Yeah.
I'm getting there.
Oh, are you?
Well,
breaking news.
Not officially. Whoa. Not officially.
Oh, right.
Congratulations.
Well, I'm 31 this year, so.
Oh, okay, right. I thought you were making an announcement there. Really.
At this stage. But if you are looking
Does your partner know this?
No, she does not.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't watch.
Oh, God. Well, no, just to digress a little second. Like, when you get to my age, like, when you go on holidays, all you start to spot, or you are told to start spotting, is the cute little babies in the pool.
I thought more of the engagement rings and stuff.
Oh, well, I think that was expected in this trip as well.
And did you deliver?
No.
Oh.
Did not. Absolutely not.
Okay. But delayed gratification, it's something that your generation are not supposed to be able to do, but fair play to you, and you're bucking the trend.
Absolutely. There is a good present that you can get yourself or your dad
this
weekend, and that is that Off The Ball membership is just $49.99 for 6 months. So you can go to Off The Ball website to get that, offtheball.com/vouchers. You get exclusive subscriber-only content, ad-free podcasts, early access to live events, and all of the great analysis that we talk about every single day in the show. All the great guests that we have, they're available on offtheball.com/vouchers. $49.99 for 6 months for your fathers.
Before we move on from Portugal, Nigel O'Sullivan has been in touch in the comments. Hi all, I live and work in Portugal. All my colleagues think Ronaldo should be used for the last 10 to 20 minutes. They hate Martinez and they're afraid they're sacrificing their golden generation for Ronaldo. That's pretty good analysis. I think that's pretty much exactly what's going on.
Maybe he's playing, just to give him a little bit of credit, maybe he's playing a slight long game. You put him out, he thinks the joint out, and he goes, I gave you your chance. What about this other role over here? Look at these young lads. You're the mentor. You're ultimately going to be the manager of this team if you want to be, whenever you want to be, Cristiano. You walk on water. Yeah. You are the Messiah. How about you be the Messiah and imagine we go to a penalty shootout, but if you've started the game, I've got to take you off. You don't want that. You need to be preparing yourself for the knockout stages so that you're on the field as the cup is being won.
I think
that's how I'm spinning that to him.
That'd be really good management and really effective if it was anyone but Ronaldo. I just don't think that'd go in one ear and out the other. I just think he's, in his own mind, he's still 25 and can play 90 minutes and can play 120 minutes if needs be, take a penalty at the end of it all. I just think he's on a different planet in terms of what he sees himself as. I think he probably sees himself as one of the best, if not the best footballer in the world, potentially. And that's probably a testament to his
the ego, self-belief,
and all that. Sure. But it's getting to a point now, Enda alluded to it earlier, that
fantasy.
It's damaging him and his national team at this stage. I don't know.
Ayrton Hag spotted it. He was left with without the respect of Ronaldo. So, I mean, there swings around.
Badge of honour.
Was that the greatest rope-a-dope of all time where City pretended they wanted him and some moron at United was like, oh, we're gonna really piss off Pep here. We're going to get this guy. And it's like, oh, God, what are you doing? It was Solskjaer was the manager, wasn't he?
Solskjaer was the manager, yeah.
Yeah.
Even took a phone call. Alex Ferguson hopped on the phone, as he tends to do now, to convince him to come back. And it genuinely derailed United. Like,
well, it
they were
help.
On an upward trajectory under Solskjaer.
I think that's also a fantasy.
The club itself, yeah, not a good place.
Is there any world in which Pep could have made it work? Yeah, because they didn't have Haaland at that point. So he would just would have been a fox-in-the-box striker. And maybe they would have... I don't know. I can't see how it would have worked. I think I'd love to hear Pep after a few glasses of Petrus.
What his vision was of it, yeah.
Yeah, I never intended to sign them at all. It was the complete red herring.
I don't think at the stage that Pep was at, he would have made that work. Maybe 2 to 3 years before that. Because... Where Pep took the game then was stretching the game, strong, powerful runners, Erling Haaland, Jeremy Doku, Semenya. Like he changed the way that he was playing.
Yeah.
Whereas before that, 2 years before that, he was playing Raheem Sterling as the fox in the box, someone in the 6 yard box.
And this would have been in the intermediate period of that, though.
Yeah. So maybe there was a little bit of a fork in the road for Pep and where he wanted to take football. But
I think he was
just playing a little trick on his.
It's amazing adversaries. If that's the case.
I would tend to agree.
Smart man is Pep.
Yeah. Also another one of those people who were in the Bermuda Triangle for 12 months suddenly emerging, blinking into the sunlight, going, hey, we're saved. Like an episode of Lost. Him, Isak, a few others. I wouldn't include Jokeres in that, but he at least showed up and performed.
Yeah, but your theory of strikers and all them playing well all at the same time has continued after last night. Fissa.
It's going to be an incredible race for the Golden Boot, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Haaland's going to get it, doesn't he? If they get to the round of 16, I'd fancy him to take it.
Have you seen the BBC 3D thing that they've been doing? You can go onto the BBC website. It's very low tech, but it's kind of strange in many ways. You can put yourself in a 3D situation where you see the goals as they're happening.
And oh yeah,
you're cool. Part of the pitch. You're on the pitch. Usually it's the goalkeeper.
Like the ref.
And there's a great one for Erling Haaland's goal where you're the goalkeeper and you're just watching, and you can kind of. It's very low def, but all you can see is like this shape barreling towards you, and he's massive, and you're like, I can kind of see why goalkeeper is a little bit scared of Erling Haaland here. It's just like it's Norwegian robot running at you full speed.
The way he runs is so violent, or something.
Yeah, it's
terrifying.